One, holding on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, beginning the 13th Perek of Or Masechta. The subject of this Perek is the Dinim of Miyun. So we've touched on Miyun here and there throughout the Masechta. What it is Midaraisa, a father has the ability to marry off his daughter, to accept Kedushin on her behalf, when she's a Ketana or a Naira. And when that's done, then that marriage is fully valid daraisa, and it would be like any other marriage. It needs a get or the death of the husband to dissolve it. Now you have, if the girl's father has passed away, or you have a case that we discussed back at the beginning of the sefer called Yisoma B'chaye Aviyah, where she was married on a daraisa level because her father accepted kedushin on her behalf, then she was widowed or divorced. So now, even though her father is still alive, he has no more rishus over her. In any case, in either of those cases, whether the father is dead or whether he's alive but has no more rishus over her, in that case, then midaraisa, nothing. There's no marriage until she actually becomes a gdola, turns 12 or older and develops shtei sairus. Midrabanan, we have that her mother or her brothers or whoever can be mekadesh her, can accept kedushin on her behalf. But since that marriage is only Dirabbanan, then the Chachamim made that there can be Miyun, she can refuse and say, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore, and then that's it, marriage is dissolved and annulled as if it never existed. So our parak is going to talk about the dinim of that, mostly in terms of how it impinges on Yibum, but we're going to be talking about the dinim of Miyun in general. An interesting point worth mentioning, by the way, is that among Ashkenazim, well, I mean, nowadays you never hear of people getting married, girls getting married at such ages anyway. In previous times, it was not exactly common, but it was not uncommon. But in the 1300s, one of the Rabbanim, one of the prominent Rabbanim of that time, called Rabbi Menachem of Mirzburg, made a takona that they shouldn't do miyun anymore. There's a couple of reasons have been given why. One of them was because people wouldn't, Amir Oritz wouldn't understand that this is a special case, and they would think that in general marriages can be dissolved without a get. There's another point also that what if the girl is actually more physically mature, and we're not certain of it, whatever. So he made such a takana in the 1300s, 1300 or 1400s. So it was generally accepted, but then about 50 years later, another one of the prominent Rabbanim of that time, named Rabbi Yaakov Polak, there was a case where he supervised a miyun, and involved his own sister-in-law who was married as a ketana, etc. Anyway, Bekitzer, this Rabbi Yaakov Polak, he was the first big rab in Poland, and talking the late 1400s, early 1500s. So he supervised a miyun for his sister-in-law, and it became a huge machlokes in his times, because a number of rabbonim in his times said that, what are you talking about? You have this takana from Menachem of Mirzburg not to do that. The upshot was, so in Rabbi Yaakov's own time, it caused him to move. He eventually moved to Poland and became a prominent rabbi over there. But he had a Talmud, Rabbi Shalom Shachna, who in turn, one of his Talmudim was the Rama, and the Rama actually writes in Shulchan Aruch that there's no problem, you can do miyun. You don't have to worry about this takana of Rabbi Menachem. So in practice, it wasn't done very often, but it was occasionally done. There are trubas of the Alter Rebbe and some Atzedek also on the subject about cases where you can do miyun and not worry about Rabbi Menachem's takana, but rather follow the Maaseh Rav that Rabbi Yaakov Polak did. Anyway, with that, let's begin. The Mishnah says,
that begs the question, is miyun d'oraisa or d'rabbanan?
Miyun is d'rabbanan, but the whole concept of the marriage is d'rabbanan. That's what we're talking about. This is a marriage that exists only d'rabbanan, so therefore the miyun on it is also d'rabbanan. So the Mishnah says, Beis Shammai says that only an arusa can do miyun, but if the nisuin was already done, then you can't do miyun, as we'll see in the Gemara a few different reasons why. A number of Rishonim, by the way, learn that Ramban and others say that even Beis Shammai doesn't mean that you can't do miyun when after nisuin. What it means is they say that we based in won't get involved in the sense after the miyun is accomplished, then we, you know, the same way as in the previous perek with chalitza, we talked about that afterward the Yavama needs a get chalitza, a piece of paper that says that chalitza was done, where she uses that as proof that she can remarry. In the same way, a ketana who does miyun is also going to need a get miyun, which is going to say that she did miyun and now is free to remarry. Again, it's not a real get. It's called a get miyun or get chalitza, only in the looser sense that it's a document that she needs as proof. But according to the Ramban and other Rishonim, ein memanin, Beis Shammai's ein memanin would not mean they can't do miyun. It would mean that if they do, we based in are not going to get involved and write her a get miyun. But if she does do miyun, then yeah, in practice, she is free to marry somebody else. Anyway, that's Beis Shammai. Or Beis Shammai, arusas and nesuas. Beis Shammai says, whether she's an arusa or whether she's an nesua, she can still do miyun. Another machlokas, Beis Shammai and Baal v'loy b'yavam. Beis Shammai says she can only do miyun against her own husband, but not against the yavam. In the sense that, so if her husband was alive and she did miyun against him, then fine, she's not considered married to him. But if her husband died, and now she's up for yibum, and she wants to do miyun and say, I don't want to do yibum with this guy, I want to do miyun, Beis Shammai says she can't do that. She's going to have to wait till she gets old enough to do chalitza, and then chalitza will be done. Beis Hillel says, no, she can do miyun the same way as against the husband or against the yavam, which we'll see in the Gemara what kind of miyun is possible against the yavam. Another machlokes, Beis Shammai and Bafana. Beis Shammai says that the miyun has to be in the presence of her husband. Or Beis Hillel says it can be either way, in his presence or not. Another one, Beis Shammai Beis Din, or Beis Hillel Beis Din, Shalai Beis Din. Beis Shammai says that the miyun has to be done in the presence of Beis Din, meaning a Beis Din of three. And Beis Hillel says it doesn't. It can be outside of Beis Din as well. It can be outside of Beis Din as well, meaning that all you need is eight. Omer Lahem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So now, another point they argued about is, Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, Mama emesvi ktana afilu dalad behe pomin. As long as she's a ktana, she can do miyun numerous times. So if she was married, so let's say the simple case where all of her marriages were drabanan, because again, let's say her father died before the first one of them, so she married Reuven and did miyun against him. Now, later on, she marries Shimon, an unrelated man, and does miyun against him, and so forth. Beis Hillel says, fine, she can do miyun as long as she's below bas mitzvah, then she can do miyun multiple times. Omer lahem Beis Shammai ein bnos Yisrael hefker. Beis Shammai says, no, Jewish girls are not hefker, so she shouldn't be doing miyun so many times. Ella, Mema enes, so fine, she can do miyun. When it was from Erusin, as Beis Shammai said earlier in the Mishnah. Umamtenes, that should tagdil, or to mine, then she should wait till she gets older, and then she does miyun, vitinase, then she can marry somebody else. Now the Gemara is going to ask why she needs a second miyun. She already did miyun when she was younger. Why would she need to do it again? But the point is that Beis Shammai says that no, once she did miyun against one husband, we don't want to have the whole, Beis Shammai is saying, listen, the whole reason why the Chachamim made the takana of marriage for Ketana anyway is so that she shouldn't be hefker. Like this, the circumstances being what they were in those times, a girl who's unmarried has no means of support. She has nobody to look after her, no nothing. So she may become hefker. So therefore, the Chachamim made a takana, let her get married even as a ketana, and that way she has somebody to look after her and to take care of her. So Beis Shammai is saying, if you allow her to do miyun over and over again as a ketana, then you're kind of defeating that purpose. Therefore, you should not. Therefore, Beis Shammai says you shouldn't be allowing that. Okay. So the Gemara says the first machlokas in the Mishnah was that Beis Shammai said that she can do miyun only as an arusa. Beis Hillel says as an nesua as well. So why is that? So we're gonna have a few reasons. Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, my time of the Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai say that there can't be miyun from Nisuin? Or again, according to the Ramban and company, it doesn't mean that you can't be, but that we based in are not going to get involved. Why not? The reason is Lefisha ain't tnai b'nisuin. The reason is because there's no conditions that are effective by Nisuin. Meaning, there can be all kinds of conditions that are made during, that are made at the time of Kiddushin. We'll learn about that whole concept in Masechet Kiddushin in a year and a half or so, Be'ez Hashem. But there can be all kinds of tnoim, and if the tnai doesn't come true, then the Kiddushin are bottled. But when it comes to Nisuin, we would assume that a person is mevatel any such tnoim. We've touched on that point before in our Masechta. So therefore, we can assume that they would revoke any such conditions in order that and the Nisuin would be a full Nisuin. So therefore, so now when it comes to the Ketana, if you say that she can do miyun even as a nesua, people are not going to realize that the reason why it's allowed is because she's a ketana. They're going to think that there's such a thing as a tnai b'nisuin, and then people are going to think that there could be a tnai b'nisuin of a gedola as well. And in fact, you can't do that. So Tosfos discusses, and Tosfos Chad Mikamai discussed certain ins and outs of that. Shmuel himself holds that yes, tnai b'nisuin. So one possibility is maybe it's not according to Shmuel over here, maybe it's in fact according to Rav. Another possibility, Tosfos Chad Mikamai says, is that maybe Shmuel is only explaining Beis Shammai's reason, but himself doesn't hold of it. And then Tosfos explains another possibility, ain't tnai b'nisuin. Doesn't mean that a tnai would be ineffective. It would be effective. Shmuel holds that there could be a tnai with nisuin, but it's uncommon for there to be a tnai with nisuin, and therefore people are going to, think that marriages can be dissolved in general without a get. So the Gemara says, Nichas of a chuppah v'lenivala ma'ikol meimer. Fine. So that explains when there's actual nisuin, meaning when they actually had relations. We can assume that as the Gemara is going to say a few lines down, that einod of oisav v'ilasav v'ilas is nus. A person doesn't want that his relations with his wife are going to actually be znus, that there wasn't a valid marriage over here. So therefore, we can assume that he's mevatel any tnoyim that would prevent the marriage from taking effect. But what about if she only went into the chuppah and they didn't yet have relations? So why would Beis Shammai say that she can't do miyun? After all, Beis Shammai said she can only do miyun as an arusa, implying that even nichnas al chuppah already you can. So why not? And the reason is, okay, because you could say v'fishein tnai b'chuppah. Same thing, you could say because a tnai is not effective by chuppah. So not effective, or according to Tosfos, it's not common by chuppah, etc. So therefore, the same rationale that would apply to nisuin also applies to chuppah. Okay, what about, the Gemara asks another possibility, Masa Av L'Shluchei Abayal Ma'ikol Meimer, what about if the father gave her to the Shluchim of the husband? Now, we've talked about earlier in the Masechta that sometimes it happens, at the time of the marriage, the Chosan and Kala are not in the same place. Obviously, that would have been much more common in the old days when travel was difficult. So sometimes it would happen that it's time for the Nisuin. Instead of the Chosin and Kala getting together in the same city, and instead of the Chosin coming to the Kala's city and doing the Nisuin, instead the husband would send some messengers to escort the Kala to where he is, and they would have the wedding take place there. So at that point, once she's left the father's rishus, then she's left the father's rishus. At that point, to a certain extent, the erusin is over and the nisuin begins, even though the actual nisuin, of course, is only going to take place once she reaches the husband. By the way, Rashi points out, I mean, what father over here? The whole point is that miyun, by definition, means that the father's not involved. Rashi says what it means is like this. There's a normal case of Moser Av L'Shluchei Abal. In the normal case where a girl is getting married and her father gives her to the Shluchei Abal and they start escorting her to the husband. So therefore, and in that case, we consider that almost the equivalent of Nisuin. So therefore, the parallel over here would be not literally that her father did, because again, her father is either dead or out of the picture, but what we mean is that her brothers or whoever it is that's taking care of her getting married did that and gave her over to the Shluchei Abal. So then what are you going to say? After all, that's already considered a form of Nisuin, and the implication, again, of Beis Shammai saying Eimim Man and El Arusas is that even at that point, you can't do Miyun anymore. Now, why not? Why? What's the matter with that being Altanai? And the answer is, okay, Loi Plug Rabbanon. We could say the Chachamim didn't make a distinction. According to Beis Shammai, the rule is that it can only be doing Erosin because we said Ain't Tnai B'Nisuin, and therefore we extend it to any case where you have something that's considered nisuin, even if it, as in this case, for example, she and the husband have not actually gotten together yet because she's still only with the shluchei abal. Okay, so all of that is one reason why Beis Shammai would say in our Mishnah, ein maman in el arusis. A second reason, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef dami tavayu, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say a second reason, time of the Beis Shammai, lafisha ein adam oisa be'ilase be'ilasnus. The reason is not so much because of that you can't have a tznai on nisuin, but the reason is because a person does not want his be'ila should be be'ilas znus. Now the whole reason for nisuin for Ketana is that they don't treat her as hefker. So what's going to happen is if you allow her to do miyun, people are going to say, why should I bother marrying her? I'm going to marry her. And then all of a sudden out of the blue she's going to do miyun. So it's going to turn out that retroactively we weren't married all this time and all relations that I had with her were be'ilas nus. So I don't want to do that. So in other words, it would defeat the whole purpose of the takana, of the chachamim, of nisui ktana, if miyun was so easy, say Beis Shammai, not so much if miyun was so easy, but then if we allowed it after nisuin, where again, nisuin generally means that they actually had relations, then a person is going to think to himself, I don't want to marry this ketana in the first place because potentially it could happen that my relations with her end up being be'ilasnus, and I don't want that, therefore I'm not going to marry her in the first place. So if we say, says Beis Shammai, that she can only do miyun as an arusa, then that avoids that problem. A person is going to say, well, I'll be ma'aris her. If she does miyun, fine, no harm, no foul. And if she does, then if we do nisuin already, then she can't do miyun anymore. So then I don't have to worry about bilos and bilosness. So again, the Gemara asks, nichnas alachup of nivala mai ikol meimar. So what are you going to answer as far as, again, with nisuin includes also where she went into the chuppah, into the yichud room, but they didn't actually have relations? And again, the answer is, okay, you could say he doesn't want a chuppah, which retroactively turns out to be an isser, where it turns out that there was no marriage, and it turns out that it was a yichud that was also. Okay, again, again, a form of nisuin can be when the father, or in this case, whoever's standing in for the father, gives her over to the shluchei habal. So then what are you going to say? Why would Beis Shammai say you can't do miyun at such a time? And again, the answer is like full rabbon. And again, you could say that the chachamim don't make distinctions within their takanas. Once they make a takana according to Beis Shammai that miyun is not possible during nisuin, then they leave it at that, no matter what form the nisuin took. Okay. Now, Ubis Hillel. In the previous one, I skipped a line. In the previous one, in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we said Beis Shammai's reason, like Tog Rabbanan. So, Ubis Hillel would answer to that. They would say, maybe Yadid, Nisuit Tana Dirabbanan. You know, everybody knows that Nisuit of a Tana are only Dirabbanan. So, therefore, the whole thing. So, when Beis Shammai, Midaraisa, there's no such thing as married with a Tana. Unless we said the father accepted kedushin on her behalf, what we're talking about when the father is dead or out of the picture. So again, in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's reason, that the reason was ain't tnai b'nisuin, and therefore the concern is that people are going to think, people don't know that she was a tana, they're going to think there was a tnai in nisuin, and think that tnai in nisuin is affected by a gdola. So Basil was going to say, everybody knows that nisuin of tana are dirabbanan, and therefore there's going to be no such confusion. So that was before in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's reason. So now, similarly, in Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef's reason, same thing. Or Beis Hillel, they would say, Kivin de'ik kedushin uksuba, since in this case you had kedushin, you had uksuba, loy also remember to be lost in be'ilasnus. Nobody's going to think of it as it was be'ilasnus. It's true in a technical sense it was because there was no marriage, but it doesn't have the appearance of znus, since there was all of the procedure of a marriage. So therefore, Beis Hillel is not worried that they say she can do miyun even as a nesua. Nobody's going to think to themselves, oh, but you know what? If she does miyun as a nesua, it turns out retroactively I've been doing znus with her, and I don't want to do that. No, because it doesn't have the appearance of znus, and therefore people aren't going to think that way. Okay. A third reason the Gemara says, Rapapa, on the time of the Beis Shammai, Mishum Peir. Beis Shammai's reason. So Rapapa says Beis Shammai's reason why not to do miyun after Erusin is because of the Peiris of her Nichsin Belug. as we're going to say in a second, time of the bacillal mishum peri, and bacillal's reason is also based on the disposition of the peris. So in each one of the other ones in Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel's reason, we had the Shammai is saying because we don't want people to think that there's a Tanai in Nisuin, and the Sivil says that there's nothing to worry about. Nobody's going to confuse a Ketana with a Gedolah. In Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef's reason, it's that it's also there is something that technically yes, it might be, but in practice, since it has the evening morning, since it has the appearance of Nisuin, since it was done in the form of a regular Nisuin, therefore we have nothing to worry about that that people are gonna that the guy's gonna think that it was Nis. Now in Rapapa's reason, we're gonna say both Beshama and Basilo are actually basing themselves on the same underlying issue, which is what happens with the payrus of her nechassim. Now, we talked about earlier in the Masechta that when a woman gets married, there are two kinds of property that she brings into the marriage. They're called nichsim malug and nichsit son barzel. So in particular here, we're focusing on the nichsim malug. She retains ownership of them. But the husband is entitled to the payrus of them as long as they're married. So now, during erusin, there's no payrus yet. Only when they get married is there payrus. So, the Gemara says, time of Beshamai Mishum Peri. So the Papa says now, the reason why Beshamai says that the Satana can do Miun only during Erosin, which is when Peris are not relevant yet, because the husband doesn't yet get Peris during that time, and not after Nisuin. So he says, time of Beshamai Mishum Peri. Beshamai's reason is based on what's going to be with the Peris. The Amit Nisuin to mine, if you say that a girl is able to do Miun even after Nisuin, shomit for ochel lahu, then he's going to grab all the payrus that he can and eat them, and she's not going to have any recourse because after all they were married at the time, so we don't want that. Shomit for ochel lahu, you know, he's going to grab them and eat them and ruin her nichsim
alone. How much payrus can he grab?
It doesn't matter. The point is he's entitled to payrus. So shomit for ochel lahu, you know, the soif for meipak kaima. He's going to figure, you know what? There's a good chance that she may leave at any time. She's a tana after all. She can do miyun any time until she becomes a gdola. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he's going to think to himself, you know what? I better get whatever I can while the getting is good. And therefore, he's going to we're hoping. Yeah. So the point is that the point is like this: when he knows the marriage has a good chance of lasting a long time, and then he's going to be more careful with her nichsim alug. He's not going to want to squeeze out every bit of profits from them because he knows. Look, you know, we want to keep them long term. I want to continue eating payrus from them. But when she's a ketana and there's a possibility of miyun hanging over his head, so he may think, you know what, I may as well grab whatever I can. I may as well squeeze out every drop of profits that I can from these things because otherwise it's going to be gone. So that's Beis Shammai. So therefore, Beis Shammai says, don't allow miyun when payrus are an issue, meaning after nisuin. After nisuin, then payrus become an issue. Or Beis Hillel, whereas Beis Hillel takes the view, Adrava, given the amet to mine, on the contrary, because she can do miyun even after nisuin, Ashbuchi mashbach lahu. On the contrary, he says, Vishilo, we can assume that the husband is going to work to try and make, to improve the property as much as possible. Sava, because he thinks to himself, De'iloy, if I don't take extra good care of her property, Aitzi lo kredeha, then her relatives will give her advice. They'll tell her, you know what do you need this guy? Umakti lo mine, and they're going to tell her, you know what, go do me, and what do you need this guy for? So therefore, Sa'adraba, Vishilo says, give him an incentive to let him have the payrus adraba. That'll make it more likely that he'll take good care of the property because he doesn't want to give her any excuse to do miyun. So that's a third reason then because of payrus. Rava Amar Hainu Taima de Beis Shammai. Rava gives a fourth reason why Beis Shammai holds that you can only do miyun only as an arusa. Because a person doesn't, we have a cloud, the Gemara mentions in other places, that a person doesn't work hard to make a suda and then ruin it. So if you say, so again, if you say that she can do miun, then keep in mind, I mean, miun is is her initiative. Unlike if there needs to be a get, then it's his initiative, because the get has to be given by Ritzono. Okay, you can have rare cases where we force him, but that's fairly uncommon. So like this. He doesn't want to put all that money into a sudder for a wedding, only to have it ruined. So if she's able to do miyun after the nisuin, then he's not going to want to bother getting married in the first place. So this is similar in that, in a certain sense, to Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef's reason that this is we want to give him an incentive to marry this girl in the first place, because after all, the Chachamim made a takana that a girl this age should be able to get married, even though midaraisa there's no possibility of it. So that people don't end up treating her as hefker. So now, therefore, we don't want them to discourage people from doing that, from marrying such a girl. If he knows that he's going to put in, you know, huge expense into a wedding, and the next day she can do meon, then he's not going to bother marrying her in the first place.
What's the difference between Rabbah and Beit Hillel?
Rabbah is an Amora, Beit Hillel is a Tana.
What's the difference in the Shita?
So the point is, no, so we're saying like, Beit Shammai in the Mishnah had said that only an Arusa can do, that a Tana can do meon only as an Arusa. Beit Hillel said she can do it as a Nesua as well. So we're discussing four different reasons why Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would be arguing. Rabbah's reason before of Ein Adam Osa Be'elasa Be'elasnus is to explain Beit Shammai's reason. Because Ein Adam Osa Be'elasa Be'elasnus, and retroactively, if there was Miyun, it turns out that the relations that they had was Nus. Therefore, Beit Shammai says, if you allow her to do Miyun after Nisuin, then people are going to say, why should I bother marrying her in the first place? I'm going to marry her, and afterwards she's going to do Miyun, and it turns out retroactively that what I did was Nus. Whereas we said, Beit Hillel is not concerned about that, because it doesn't have the appearance of Nus, because after all, there was chuppah, there was kedushin, there was all of the form of a marriage. So therefore, he's not going to think that even though in actuality it was, you know, technically it was nus, but it doesn't have the appearance of it. So therefore, he's not going to think that way. Now we're in Rava's reason, which is that never mind even the fact that he's going to be worried about his be'ila being be'ilas nus. He's going to be worried about, why should I put in a huge expense into a wedding when the next day she could do miyun, and then everything that I put into this wedding goes down the drain. Or Beit Hillel, whereas Beit Hillel takes the view, Tavayu Michalahu, on the contrary, both of them want to get married at this point. Kedei de leipuk alayu kolod ishus. People want that people should know that they're married. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that a woman particularly wants to get married. Tabla Mesef Tandu, the Gemara expresses it in some other places, that a woman would rather be living with somebody else than to be living alone. But even a man also, he doesn't want, as, you know, his friends are going to think, Nebach, a bachelor, he can't get married. So therefore, he's happy to get married, says Rava, according to Beit Hillel. Even if, yes, in the back of his mind, he knows there's always a possibility things could go sour, and it turns out I put all that money into it for nothing. But at least, meanwhile, people know that I was married, and he likes that. So therefore, so there's no concern, says Beit Hillel, that because there's a possibility of miyun, he's going to avoid getting married in the first place. No, he'll still be willing to get married and to go through with it.
He can still wear his
kapata and his talis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Onward. So we said now, so that's the first machlokas in the mission then. So Beit Shammai had said that she can do miyun only as an arusa. Beit Hillel says either as an arusa or an asua. And now we have four different reasons why. Again, to stress again something that we mentioned earlier, before you guys came in, is that the Ramban and some other Rishonim hold that even Beit Shammai doesn't hold she can't do miyun after nisuin, just that if she does, we based it are not going to get involved and write her a get miyun, and that she'll have as a proof that miyun was done. But if she did miyun, now she goes and remarries. We're not going to say that she's an HSH getting remarried. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Because Minatora, after all, there's no marriage here in the first place, right?
She doesn't need to get.
She doesn't, that's the whole point. No, of course not. I mean, she's a Tana anyway. She's anyway incapable of having children yet. But it doesn't matter. The point is the whole marriage existed only the Rabbanan anyway. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Beit Shammai Omer B'Baal Chula. That Beit Shammai says she can do miyun on the husband but not on the yavam, meaning that if her husband died and now she's up for yibum to his brothers, then she's able to do miyun. So Beit Shammai says she can't do miyun against the yavam. She has to go through with either yibum or chalitza. Now, if she wants chalitza, then she's going to have to wait until she gets older, because as a tana, she can't do chalitza, as we learned in the previous parak.
which really has not that much of an effect on him.
It doesn't have much of an effect on him, because before him, you have Benegoshim. Well, it does in the sense, we did learn earlier in the Masechta a concept that when he has a Shemeres Yavam waiting for him, that may make his marriage prospects less likely, because a potential wife of his is going to say, why do I want to marry this guy when soon enough he may have another wife as a result of Yibum? Yeah. But anyway, the point is that Bishamai is saying that Miyun is possible only against the husband, not against the Yavam. Bishamai said there can be Miyun against the Yavam as well. So what kind of Miyun are we talking about? So Amar of Oshia, Ma'enes Ma'amonoi Ve'enim Ma'enes V'zikosim. What it means is, now we've learned earlier in the Masechta, that part of the process of Yibum, the first stage of the process of Yibum, involves Maimon, where he gives her Kiddushin, which it's regular Kiddushin, but in terms of Yibum, we call it Maimon. So now, if he gave her Maimon, which is effective Dirabban, so now if she wants to do Miyun against that, then it means she undoes the effect of the Maimon, so now she doesn't need a get for that. But it still doesn't take away this Be'enimah Ma'enes L'Zikosai, but Rav Oshia says, even Vesila would agree, that her Miyun does not take away the Zika. So she's still going to need Yibum or Chalitza.
Zika,
the Zika, meaning the connection, and we talked about throughout the Masechta, the Zika is the connection that the Yavama has, where she's required to do either Chalitza or Yibum before she remarries somebody else, so she can't undo that with Miyun against the Yavam, says Rav Oshia. Amr of Chista, my time of the Rav Oshia. So Rav Chista says, why would Rav Oshia say that? Because Maimer de Midaita, because the Maimer takes place, it requires her das. She has to receive that Kiddushin. Therefore, Matsya Akra, therefore she's able to be Oikere. She had the das to receive that Maimer. She can now have the das to say, you know what, I changed my mind and I don't want this Maimer and I want it to be undone. Zika de Baal Korcha, as opposed to the Zika happens whether she likes it or not. The fact is, as soon as her first husband dies, then the Zika comes into effect. Therefore, Loi Matsya Akra, therefore she's not able to uproot it with me. The Gemara says, still, what's the logic about a Bia de Baal Korcha? What about the Bia of the Yavam? That can also be Baal Korcha, because we learned earlier in the Masechta that when it says Yavama Yavay Aleha, the Yavam has relations with her, it means whether it's Midaita or not, either way it's effective. It would be a low life if he does it Baal Korcha, but nevertheless, the fact is it is valid. Umatzia Akra, and yet we're saying this Hillel says that she can do Miyun against the Yavam, similar to the husband, which means the same way as the husband. Now again, the husband earlier in the Mishnah, Bishamai, Bishillel had said that she can do Miyun even after Nisuin, meaning even after they had relations, she's able to do Miyun. Well, the same thing would apply to the Yavam then. Once they did Nisuin, once he had relations with her and they're fully married, Beis Hillel would say she's able to do Yibum, even though the Bia itself was able to be effective, even Baal Korcha. So what's the logic to say that only things that are Midaita can she undo? By that logic, you would say once Yibum was done, then she can't do Miyun, and that's not what Beis Hillel was saying. Ela, no. We have to explain Rav Oshia's Shita as follows. Bia u'maimer, dehu ka'ovid, because the difference is the Bia and the Maimer are things that he did, therefore Matsya Akra, therefore she is able to be oiker them by doing Miyun and saying therefore that it undoes the effect of it. So in the case of Maimer, it means she doesn't need a get from it, and in the case of Bia, it would mean also that she doesn't need a get, it's as if they were never married.
So she gets raped and then she can just say bye.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Yibum, essentially, yeah. Zika, as opposed to when it comes to the Zika, the fact that she needs Chalitza or Yibum in the first place, Dirachman or Rama Allah, that's not even as a result of anything that her husband or her Yavam did. That's Hashem put it on her by having her husband die without children. Loi Matsya Akra, that then she's not able to be Oiker, says Rav Oshia, to explain this Hillel, that she wouldn't be able to be Oiker that, because it's not even something that was accomplished by human agency. Okay. That's Rav Oshia. Ula Omar, Ula disagrees and says, Mama Enes Atla Zikose. No, she could actually, according to Beis Hillel, she could do Miyun and undo the Zika as well. Meaning, again, so she was married to Reuven. Reuven dies. She's now up for Yibum to Shimon, his brother. So now Beis Hillel would say, says Ula, that she can say, you know what? I didn't mind being married to Reuven. I was fine with him, but I don't like you, Shimon. I am the mine. I refuse, and therefore, and now it's considered as if she was never married to Reuven in the first place, and therefore that there's no Zika with Shimon. So my time in Nisui Kamoi Ka'akra. Because what happens when she does Miyun now? In effect, what she's doing is she's undoing her original marriage. So now she was never married to Reuven. never married a woman means there's no zika with shrimen. Eisvei Rava Ula, however, Rava says to Ula, how can you understand it that way? We learn at the very beginning of our Masechta, when we talk about the Hamesh Esrei Noshim, we have the 15 cases where a woman is a close relative of the Yavam, and therefore we said that Chalitza is not necessary, Yibum is not possible, and Chalitza is not necessary, there's no Zika at all. So for example, we have the case, let's say for example, where Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter, and as well as to another woman. So we said when Shimon dies, if Reuven is the only other brother, then she's potter from Chalitza or Yibum, because Reuven is her own father, and her tzara is also potter from Chalitza or Yibum, because she's a tzara's erva. And the Mishnah had said over there, kol sheyecholah l'mayin v'lemiyana, we said that if the daughter in this scenario was a ketana, and she could have done miyun, because she's still of the age, and the circumstances where miyun could have been done, and now that wouldn't apply. Now, if we're talking about father, for example, then that wouldn't be possible unless she had previously been married and divorced or widowed, where now we said the father is out of the picture. Otherwise, again, the father accepts kedushin on her behalf, daraisen, we're not even talking about miyun. But let's say any of the other cases. You have 15 cases over there where we said if some of them, for example, the mother of his wife can't involve a ketana, but we have, let's say, others. We have, let's say, for example, another one of the examples in the Mishnah over there, was, for example, that she's a half sister to one of the brothers, but not to the other, like the blended family of Reb Chiya that we talked about earlier in the Masechta. We're now, let's say, for example, so she's Reuven's half sister, but not Shimon's. She's not related to Shimon biologically at all. So she marries Shimon. If now Shimon dies, then she can't do chalitza. She can't do yibum with Reuven because he's her half brother. She doesn't need to do chalitza either, and her tzara is also potter. So now, let's say to begin with, when she married Shimon, then she was a ketana in such a way where miyun would be possible. And the Mishnah says if she was able to do miyun, the loy miyana, but she did not in fact do miyun, tzara sachelatzis polemis yabemis. Then her tzara needs to do chalitza, cannot do yibum, because then you have the issue where on a daraisa level, this tzara was fully married to Shimon, because she after all is a gdola, and where there's no issue of tzara's erva at all on a daraisa level, because the erva herself is a ketana, and her marriage was only drabanan. On the other hand, drabanan, the fact is they were married, and therefore this other wife is a tzara's erva. So therefore, the result is that you have a zika, daraisa, but it can't be fulfilled with yibum because of the gzeira derabanan, and therefore chaletzis v'lemis yabetz. Now, says Rava Te'ula, v'amai, now if you're telling me that she's able to do miyun and undo even her original marriage to Reuven, then to mine hashta, then why? So what's the problem? Let her do miyun now, v'takrinun l'isui tamoi, let her therefore undo her original nisuin, v'tisyabim sarasa, and now her tzara will be able to do yibum. So let's draw out the scenario. Shimon was married to the ketana, who was, let's say, for example, Reuven's half-sister, his brother Reuven's half-sister. He's also married to an unrelated woman, Miriam. Now, when Shimon dies, what are we saying? We're saying that the ketana is potter because the yavam, the only yavam, is her half brother, and so she's potter from chalitza and yibum with him. On the other hand, her tzara, we're saying because she's a tzara's erva, she can't do yibum. On the other hand, because she's a tzara only on a darabonim level, because daraisa, the ketana's marriage doesn't exist, then therefore she can't. Therefore there exists a zika and she needs chalitza for it. Well, says Rava, if you're telling me that the ketana is able to do miyun and undo her first marriage, let her do that at this point. Let her now, after Shimon has died, let her do miyun. I don't want to have been married to Shimon at all. So then she was never married to Shimon. So now Miriam was married. So now Miriam was Shimon's only wife. And Miriam does yibum or chalitza in the regular way with Reuven. Why are we saying chalitza s'volem nisebemis? So the answer is, to mine hashta, let the ketana do miyun now, according to you, Ula, that she could, in that way she will undo her original nisuin with Reuven, and now her tzara, Miriam, will be able to do yibum, because now there's no problem. And the answer is, tzaras erva shayin. The case where she was a tzara of an erva is different. Even though usually miyun would be effective by a ketana who's a yavama, and that this way she doesn't need chalitza or yibum, but it's not effective as far as changing the status of her. It's not effective as far as changing the status of her erva when we have the case of tzaras erva involved. And why is that? The Toni Romi by Yechezkel. as Yomi Bar Yechezkel taught a Braisa, which we also had, we had a discussion about this point at the beginning of our Masechta. So now we're repeating it again. Mia Nebabal, if the Ketana did Miyun against her husband, so while her husband was still alive, Muteras La'aviv, then she's allowed later on to marry her former husband's father. Because, again, now if there had been an actual marriage over here and it was dissolved by a get or by the death of her husband, then she'd be also to marry his father because his father would be an heir to her. She would be she's his son's wife. She's his daughter-in-law, which is one of the Adayas in the Torah. However, the Miyun takes away the marriage. It's as if it never existed. Therefore, it's considered as though she was never married to him in the first place. It's considered an effect that she was just an anusa. Well, an anusa of a person is allowed to later on marry the Ernest's father. But on the other hand, Rami Bar Yechezkel says, "B'yavam asur alavu." But if she didn't do Miyun against her husband, only now, after her husband dies, does she do Miyun. So even though that's true, it undoes the marriage, nevertheless, she would still be Osir to marry his father later on.
Wow.
Because of Maris Ay. Alma, because it still appears, Alma, so what do we see? B'shas Nefila Nidus Kekalosir. At the time of Nefila, at the time when she's up for Yibum, then she has the appearance of still being his daughter-in-law. Because at the time when her husband died, after all, at the time when her husband died, she was, after all, still his daughter-in-law. Yes, it turns out that now there was Miyun, and it undoes that retroactively. And therefore it undoes the marriage retroactively. Nevertheless, it has the appearance, the same way as we said on Omer Aleph, that when there was, we said in Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef's reason, about the Shama and the civil shittis in our Mishnah, that once it has the appearance of a marriage, there was chuppah, there was kedushin, there was all of that, then it doesn't appear like znus. Well, here it's the same way. Here it's the same way that since there was, she did seem to be married to the son still at the time when he died, and then now she's up for yibum to his brother. So fine, Miyun has the effect of taking away the requirement for chalitza, but it doesn't take away the fact that at the time she appeared to be the father's daughter-in-law, and therefore she remains also to him, says Rami Bar Yechezkel. Hochanami, the Shas Nefila, nearest to Tzaras Bitter. Same thing over here. When you're talking about Tzaras Erva, at the time when her husband dies, if she has the appearance still of being, the other woman has the appearance of being a Tzara of an Erva. So even though, yes, it's true that now this girl, the Tana, could do Miyun, and now it comes out retroactively that only Miriam, let's say, all along was married to Shimon, and therefore that Chalitza or Yibum should be possible with Reuven as usual. But nevertheless, it has the appearance of being Tzaras Erba, and therefore we don't want her to do Yibum, and therefore we don't want Miriam, the Tzara, to be doing Yibum, but therefore we require her to do Chalitza. So that doesn't contradict all those points, which is, that she could, according to Beis Hillel, that she could do Miyun even against the Yavam, and it makes as if her first marriage never existed, and therefore no Chalitza is necessary. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav, Miyana Bezeh Asura Lozeh. Now what happens if the girl, the Yavama, if she does Miyun against one of the brothers? Now we're following over here, we're continuing with Ula's Shitta, that she's able to do Miyun against the Yavam as well, and that removes the necessity for Chalitza or for Yavam.
What's a Miyun?
Miyun is that where she says, I want out of this marriage. Since she was a Ketana, when she got married, the marriage exists only to Rabbanon, so she has the ability sometime during the marriage to say, I don't want to be married anymore. It undoes the whole marriage as if it never existed. No get is necessary, no nothing. I'll explain later because we discussed it earlier, but yeah. Okay, anyway. So Ula is telling us that according to the Hillel, she can do Miyun against the Yavam. Meaning that it makes it as if she was never married in the first place, and therefore that no chalitza is necessary. So now, Rav says, if she does that, asura lazeh, she's also to any of the other brothers as well. Now, on the face of it, if she did miyun, meaning that she was never married in the first place, then what would be the problem? She has no relationship to any of the brothers. Well, that's the question. But Rav, we're saying that no. Midi dahava abalas haget. The reason is because we draw an analogy with a case where one of them gives her a get. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta, one second, of the brothers. Oh. What we're talking about is, so there were a bunch of brothers over here. There were Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc. Reuven, her husband, died. Now she's up for Yibum. If one of the brothers gives her a get, on a Daraisa level, nothing happens. You need Chalitza. You need either Yibum or Chalitza. But on a Darabonan level, one of them giving her a get passes her from Yibum in the future to any one of them. She still needs Chalitza, but she's possible for Yibum now to them. Now, so Rav draws an analogy between Niyun and a get. Balas a get, Lav kiven de itzeralal chad, itzeralal churu. Just like with when she receives a get, when she's also to one of them, the one who gave her a get, that makes her actually also to all of them.
Why is that?
Because that's how it is. Derabanan, the same Chachamim who said that the get has an effect by the Yavama, they said it has an effect not only on the brother who gave her the get, but on all the other brothers as well. So the same way, Hochanami, Loishna, the same way over here, if she did Miun against one of the brothers, then it means that she's now off limits to all of them. So no chalitza is necessary because there was Miun, but nevertheless, there's also, on the other hand, she can't change her mind to give them with one of them, says Rab. Okay, Tosfos points out that actually in the case of Miun of a Baal, we just said before that in principle she'd be allowed to marry his father if she did Miun while the husband was alive. So Tosfos says that since they're not in fact married yet, And Miun doesn't actually answer her, doesn't really answer her either at that point because they're not really married yet. Therefore, there's more of a concern of it being confused. Whereas in a regular case where she's actually married to somebody and she does Miun against him, that's sufficiently different than a get that we're not worried about. The people are going to think that if he gave her a get, she'd be allowed to marry his father. Okay, so that's the point of that. Shmuel says no. If she does Miun against one Yavam, she's still allowed to marry another one of them. It wouldn't be Yibum because it would be considered that her first marriage was dissolved. It's as if it never existed. But so she's allowed to marry one of the other brothers as a regular marriage. The Lloyd Damiel, a Balas Aget. So Shmuel says it's not like a case where she received a get because the difference is Balas Aget with the Ka'ovid Ba, because the difference is that when one of them gave her a get, he actually did something. He gave her a get. Hocha he Ka'av Gabe. Here, it's her initiative. She's the one who does Miun. She says, I don't want you and I don't desire you. And the implication is, I don't want you, but I'm perfectly happy to marry one of your brothers. So therefore, so it's not similar to a get where he gives it to her. So therefore, we can say that when she's the one who takes the initiative, then yes, we can say it applies only to something. Rav Asi has a third opinion. And by the way, you have in the Gemara, you have Rabbi Asi, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, but sometimes you have Rav Asi, like over here, who's actually a Chaver of Rav and Shmuel. So here we have a three-way machlokas between them. So Rav Asi Yomer, Nia Nebuzem Uteres Afiru Lod. No, if she does Miun against the Yavam, she would even later on be allowed to marry that Yavam himself. She changes her mind. So she was married to Reuven. Reuven died. Now she's up to Yibum to Shimon, Levi, etc. She has a Zika with any one of them. She does Miun against Shimon. So now we set an effect that dissolves her marriage as if it never existed. Well, now she was never married to Reuven. Therefore, she's perfectly allowed to marry any of them, either Shimon or Levi or whatever. The fact that she did Miun against him doesn't matter. Obviously, it means if she wants to marry Shimon, it means she changes, which means she changed her mind. But the point. No, Shimon is still alive. So, yeah. So the Gemara says, "Lema kedem oishias svirale da'ama enem ma'enes v'zikasei." So does that mean that Rav Asi necessarily holds like Rav Oshia on Amud Aleph, where we said that Rav Oshia says that the whole concept of the Shama, that this Hillel says in our Mishnah that she can do Miun, this Hillel had said that she can do Miun against the Yavam, but Rav Oshia said only as far as Mimer, that if he gives her Mimer, Kiddushin, then she can undo that with Miun, but not the Zika. So does that mean, so in other words, according to Rav Oshia, when there's a Zika, when her husband died, and there is a Zika, she can't undo that with Miun. Well, does that mean that Rav Asi holds like Rav Oshia? He's saying, in effect, that her Miun has no effect, and therefore therefore she's allowed to marry any of the brothers. So, Lema could have Oshia Svirle, Da'ama Enema Enes Vazikose. The Gemara answer is that the Chad Yavam Hochi Nami de Matzia Akra. No, because if there was only one Yavam, if there was only one other brother, then sure we would say that her Miun undoes the whole Zika and means that there's nothing further. But here we're talking about where there were two or more brothers who are available to do Yibum or Chalitza. Now, there's no such thing where, so Rav Asi would take the view that there's no such thing as Miyun on half a Zika. The Miyun either takes away the Zika altogether or it doesn't take it away at all. So Rav is saying that it would, Asa her to all of them. Shmuel is saying it would Asa her only to the one that, she did Miyun on. Rav Asi is saying you can't say that it affects only the one that she did Miyun to. That would be like saying that Miyun takes away half the Zika. You can't do that. It's an all or nothing thing. So therefore, Rav Asi says it doesn't take away any, it takes away the Zika, or it takes away so it doesn't take away the Zika at all, the Miyun. After the Miyun, it's the same as before the Miyun. You have the same exact Zika with all the brothers, so any of them can satisfy it with Chalitza or Yibum.
Why didn't you say the woman came to marry to the...
So now what we're saying is, so again, this is Tana. So she was married to Reuven. Reuven died. You have his brothers, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. She does Miyun against Shimon. Rav Asi, in effect, is saying that Miyun, we ignore it. So it means, in other words, that there still exists a Zika, and therefore, so now Shimon, Levi, Yehuda are all available to do Yibum.
What's a half a Zika? Zika?
That's what we mean. In other words, if we were to say that her Miyun against Shimon is effective in answering her to Shimon, but she'd still be mutter to Levi or Yehuda, like Shmuel says, then it means, in effect, that the Miyun has undone half the Zika. It undoes the Zika relative to Shimon, but not relative to Levi or Yehuda, and Rav Asi says that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
one
of the brothers
give
a Miyun, then.
So not Shia, they don't give Miyun. She's the one who initiates Miyun. She's the one who says, I don't want to be married. Okay. He also Robin. When Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, if she did Miyun against one of the brothers, she is mutter to the other brothers. Veloy hoiduloy, but they didn't agree with him. So Raman loy hoiduloy. So what does that mean? Who disagrees with that? I'm gonna buy a Rab. So Abaya says that would be Rab. We just said that Rav had said that if she does Miyun on one, she's also to all of them. So clearly that would be disagreeing with Rav Yechanan's opinion. Rava Amar Rav Oshia. Rava says it's Rav Oshia who disagrees with Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan is saying she's mutter to the other brothers. Rav Yechanan is saying she's mutter to the other brothers. Now Rav Oshia had said that Miyun is not effective as far as undoing Zika. It's only effective as far as undoing Naim. So if there are other brothers, then you have this Miyun Lachati Zika that we said. So now Rav Oshia would say Bechlal. Rav Oshia would say that there's no such thing as Miyun for Zika at all. Rav Yochanan is saying, in effect, like we just said, Rav Asi had said that if there's only one other brother, such that the Miyun takes away any possibility of Yibum, then it's effective. But if there were more than one brothers, then we say Ein Miyun Lachati Zika. So Rav Oshia would disagree with that. Says Rava, because Rav Oshia would say that Miyun is never effective against Zika at all, whether the whole Zika or half. The Amri, Lord Rav Asi, or others say that Rava said that Rav Asi would disagree, because again, Rav Asi would say Ein Miyun Lachati Zika, and that would disagree with Rav Yechanan, all the more so than Rav Oshia would be disagreeing with him, because Rav Oshia would say that Miyun is not effective against Zika at all. So we have Rav, Shmuel, Rav Asi, and now we're saying Rav Yechanan, and the question is which one of the Amoroyim who we just dealt with would disagree with Rav Yechanan and which ones would agree with him. The halacha in this case, usually in matters of Issa v'Heter, the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel, but Shmuel's an Amora, but here, you know, we don't mean Shmuel an Amora, we mean Shmuel v'Amora. But here the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like Shmuel, that Miyun Abazem Muteres Chozeh, that even if she does Miyun against one of the brothers, it means, in other words, it undoes the marriages that never existed, so now she's equally well able to marry any of the brothers because there's no Zika at all. It's just a regular marriage. The Gemara goes on. The Mishnah said Bishama and Bafana Bechola, that Bishama had said Miyun has to be done in the presence of the husband. Bishilal had said it can be done even not in his presence. So the Gemara says Tanya Omer Lahem Bishilal Bishama. So Bishilal says, what do you mean it can't be done when he's not there? V'alei Pishon Hagamol Miyun Ishtei Shalei Bafana. Don't we have the example of Pishon, that was his name? Hagamol means it was a camel driver, where his wife did Miyun, his wife was a Tana, did Miyun when he wasn't around. So you see that it could be done. He measured out with an upside down measurement. Meaning, Rashi says, literally the word pusha means overturned, but it means, in other words, like he measured in an unfair way. So in other words, like we talked about in Amar Aleph, there can be the case where the husband thinks to himself, you know what, I may as well grab everything while the going is good, because any time she might be miyun. This Pisha and Agamo did just that. His wife brought Nichsim and Logan to the marriage. He figured, let me squeeze everything out of it that I can as long as we're married. So he treated her Nichsim and Logan, and her, in an unfair way. Therefore, says the Shammai, the Chachamim treated him with a midah kfusha, and they said, we're going to override the usual rule that it can't be done before now. But usually we wouldn't say that. Now, Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, so what does that mean? Because he did wrong, two wrongs don't make a right. Just because he did wrong doesn't entitle us to do wrong back against him. So Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that says, it shows that even according to Beis Shammai, if she did miyun in the cases where we said ein mamanin, then it would be valid, which is similar to what we were saying before, that the Ramban says that all the things that we say in our Mishnah, that the Ramban understands, are Gemara Bavli, in the same vein, that it means, in other words, that it means that re-basting will not get involved, right who will get miyun, but nevertheless, the miyun is in fact valid. Tosfos, on the other hand, says no. Given that the whole kedushin of a ketana or drabanan in the first place, we can say the same chachamim who declared the kedushin valid in the first place, they also have the ability to be mafkia, to say that the kedushin are as if they never existed. As we have certain rare cases, even with adults, where we do that. For example, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, if a person is mevatel a get after he sent it to his wife, so we say that we undo his kedushin, because kedushin are done. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, meaning with the consent of the chachamim. But it doesn't show, in other words, that says Beis Shammai, that normally you could do miyun when the husband is not present. So the Gemara asks me to ka'ochko peri. Well, let's consider. If we're talking about that he was eating peris from her nechosim, pshit in nesuah, he obviously means that she was actually fully married. Va'ami Beis Shammai nesuah lemimana. Didn't Beis Shammai say earlier in the Mishnah that once she's nesuah, they can't do miyun anyway? She can't do miyun anyway. And the answer is tre kitri of the day. You're right. It would mean that actually they did two things. They did two things against him because he was treating his wife unfairly. Therefore, they did two things. Number one, they allowed miyun, even though his wife was already married to him, full nisuin. And number two, that they allowed shaloi b'fanav, even though, again, the Shammai is saying there's two things that were done that usually would not have been done, but in this case, because he was acting in an unfair way, then therefore they did that to him. So again, according to the Yerushalmi and according to the Ramban, it would mean, in fact, the miyun would be valid. It's not like the Chachamim are creating a miyun out of thin air over here. All they're saying is normally we, Beis Din, would not get involved. Here, Beis Din got involved. According to Tosfos, we're saying that, in effect, what they did is, the Chachamim said it's not even a matter of miyun, it's a matter of we, Chachamim, retroactively undo that kedushin, because the kedushin has to be done. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and in this case, because of the way the guy was acting, then we undo the kedushin. Now, this Pishon Agamo, I think, is the only place in Chassi is. I mean, there are probably many cases involving Peiris. We'll get to them. It's worth it, some of them, in the Sefer Kedushin. All right. Peiris is there's produce. So it means, for example, if it's a field, then the actual produce that the field grows. If it's, let's say, an Eved, then it means the work that he does, etc.
Fruit.
It means fruit, literally, but it means produce of a field. Yeah. Okay.
No.
So what we're talking about is that normally when a couple is married, that the wife brings a nichsim malug into the marriage where she retains ownership of that property, but the husband is entitled to the payers, to any proceeds from it. But now we're saying that this Pishon Agamo was trying to squeeze out every bit of payers from the thing, and therefore the Chachamim said in this case we have to make an exception and allow miyun even in a case where normally according to Beis Shammai it wouldn't be allowed. Well, we'll talk about it. I'll explain soon. Yeah, let's try to finish up over here.
It applies to
a kana. Yeah, I'll explain. Yeah. Okay. So Beis Shammai and Fnei Beis Din. We said that Beis Shammai says miyun can be done only in front of Beis Din. And Beis Hillel says either way. So Tznanah, so we learn in a Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin, Hachalitza b'amiunin b'shloisha, Chalitza and Miun have to be done in front of a Beis Din of three. Man Tana, which Tana would be saying that? Amar Rava, Beis Shammai. Apparently that would be a point of Beis Shammai, but it's a point of Beis Hillel. You don't need a Beis Din. Abaya Omer after the time of this Hillel. No, Abaya says it could even be according to this Hillel, which we'd prefer to, of course, because Halacha is like this Hillel. We'd rather not have a Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin be like the Shammah. Ad Kan, the Kan of this Hillel, Ela Bloibin and Mumchin. Because what does Beis Hillel say mean when they say in our Mishnah that you don't need a Beis Din, means you don't need mumchin, you don't need people with smicha ish mipiish back to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Avol Shloisha Beinan, but even Beis Hillel would agree that you do need to have a panel of three that serves a Beis Din. So therefore, so that Mishnah in Sanhedrin would go according to that as well. Kidatanya, as in fact we learn in a Bryce. Beis Shammah and Bifnei Beis Din, or Beis Hillel and Bifnei Beis Din, Shalei Bifnei Beis Din, Be'elu Ve'elu Moedim Hatzarach Shlosha. But both Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel agree that you need three. So all it is Beis Shammah would say that you need three smuchim, and Beis Hillel would say you don't need three smuchim. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin B'Shnayim. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say that it's kosher even with two. Now, Tosfos says in that case, it wouldn't even need two. It could even be one. The reason why we mention two is because practically speaking, you need edus, you need edim for the meal. But the implication would be, if let's say, for example, it was done in the presence of only one, and you had, let's say, edim hiding behind a fence or something and observing it, then these two tanoim would say that it's still kosher. Omer of Yosef, Omer Yumi, Omer of Nachman, Halacha, Pa'isazug, the Halacha is like them, you don't actually need a Beis Din for the Miyun to be done in front of it, it's enough that you have Edim, that you have Edim observed.
Whenever I'm Beis Shammah, it's
alive. Most of the time, the Halacha is like this only. So we said, the end of the Mishnah had said, Beis Shammah im Tumayin Chola, that Beis Shammah says that Beis Hillel had said that she could do Miyun over and over again, meaning she was married to Reuven and she did Miyun against him, then she marries an unrelated man, Shimon, and does Miyun against him, and so forth. She can do Miyun as many times as necessary. Beis Shammah had said in the Mishnah, no, Bnos Yisrael shouldn't be Hefker. Once she does Miyun one time, then it said she should wait till she gets to be Gdola, till she gets to be Bas Mitzvah, and then she can do Miyun, and then she can remarry. So the question is, why the second Miyun? Beis Shammah im Tumayin Chola. Well, Miyun, Achad is in. She already did Miyun. Why does she have to do Miyun again? So Shmuel says, you're right. We don't mean that she has to do another Miyun. What we mean is that when she gets older, she has to reaffirm that I still hold by the original Miyun that I did as a child. So she was married to Reuven. She did Miyun against him. Now, Beis Shammah is saying, we're not going to allow her, she can remarry again as a Kana, but if she wants out of that second marriage, no, she's going to have to wait till she's a Gdola and get a get. And then, at that point, also, she will say that I still want to hold by the first Miyun, because otherwise she may have changed her mind in between. The Pashas, otherwise she would be able to return to the first husband, yeah.
Why would she want to get Miyun then?
Because let's say she changed her mind.
She returned to the first husband.
Maybe not, actually, because if she wasn't married to the first husband, then there's no problem with the Rishase, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Ula Omer Tauti Katani. Ula says no. What the Mishnah is saying, there's two different possibilities. Beis Shammah is saying, Oish to mind the Tagdol Ta'oris, either let her do Miyun against her first husband, then let her wait until she's a Gdola, then she can do Erisin with a new husband. Oish to mind the Tinosim Alter. Or she does Miyun, and then she can remarry right away. But in other words, we don't mean that she has to do the Miyun again. We mean there's two possibilities. That one is that she does Miyun, and then waits till she's a Gdola to do a new Kiddushin. This way she won't change her mind. And that way she can't do Miyun against the second one. Because again, Beis Shammah is saying, we don't want to open up the possibility of her doing Miyun against two different husbands. Or if she wants to get married, then fine, she can do Miyun and get married right away. Because again, once she's married, once she's in a Suah, according to Beis Shammah, she can't do Miyun anymore. Okay, so the Gemara says, Bishlema Ula, according to Ula's understanding of the Mishnah, Chayna de Katani actually tagged over Tinase. Then we understand the wording of the Mishnah, that it's saying, till she gets older, and she does Miyun, and she gets married. So we're saying, it doesn't mean all of them, it means one or the other. She tagged over to, tagged over the, she tagged over to mine, or she tagged over Tinase. Or add she tagged over to mine, or Tinase. But according to Shmuel, who's saying that all we're doing is we want her to reaffirm that her original Miyun is still valid, so she should say, until she gets older, and she should say that my original Miyun, I still hold by it. So why doesn't the Mishnah say that? Because it's Kasha. You're right, it would be a Kasha to understand how Shmuel would explain the wording of the Mishnah. It's not a Tzuvda, we haven't slogged them up, but the Mishnah flows better according to Ula's understanding.
So,